right. Welcome to The Rock. I'm Josh Whitney. It's good to be here. My wife and I, we came down with our four children, and we typically are involved with the Downtown Rock Church up in Salt Lake City. But Mac asked me to come down and teach. This is a talk that I gave. We've started up a rock solid marriage class for engaged couples. And so this is the talk that I've given a couple times now on communication and conflict. So we probably have some old fogey married people here. This will be a good refresher for you. We have some newly marrieds. These will be good reminders. We have some dating couples. We have some people that would like to fall in love and get married. It'd be good to learn it now. So I think everybody, wherever you're at, this will be good stuff for you. My credentials on this, I've been married to my wife, Krista, for 9 years now. It's been great. The last 9 years have been the most amazing phase of my life, and it's simultaneously been the hardest time of my entire life because she has been the biggest blessing, and God has used the woman that I'm married to refine and like chisel out the sin that is all over my life. So we're going to get into communication and conflict this morning, and there's all kinds of bad patterns and good patterns we're going to talk about. Just briefly, my wife and I met in college. We were in the same church. We were friends for a couple years. We started to date for about a year. We were engaged for 6 months. And in that year of dating and that 6 months of engagement, we had one conflict. So 18 months, we had one fight. It was because she showed up an hour late on my birthday to go hang out with me. I was a little fussy about it. So I thought, we are going to be like the greatest couple ever. 18 months, one conflict, we dealt with it, we get married. And all of a sudden, my wife starts crying. I was like, who's this woman who cries? All of a sudden, she had expectations of me that she did not have when we were dating. I was like, where does this come from? So all of a sudden, the first 6 months of our marriage, we're having conflict and disagreement, arguments and tears and fighting. And about 6 months into it, I'm sitting there in my room, and I was going to college at that time. I'm trying to study my engineering book, and I'm reading the same paragraph over and over again because my wife and I have just had a big disagreement downstairs, and I kept rereading the same paragraph, and I was like, ugh, that woman is driving me crazy, God. And God is like, no, you're sinful. You need to get down there, and you need to apologize and own it and talk through this stuff with her. So let me start off with this verse. There's a blank sheet in your bulletin. You can take notes. I'm going to kind of fly through some bullet points. I'm going to hit some key verses. You can jot down some thoughts. This is a classic verse on marriage. We're talking about communication and conflict. And Mac had this idea, this building idea, that it's critical if you're on a building project that everybody's talking. The foreman and the subcontractors and the supervisor and the architect and the engineers, all the design team. Everybody's got to be communicating all the time. Here are our plans. What do you mean by this? How do we build it? Can we get the supplies? Who's going to build it? Are we going to stay on budget? So there's all this communication happening constantly on a construction site. Likewise, if we're going to have an amazing marriage, an amazing family, there's got to be all kinds of communication happening. So this is a classic verse, Genesis 2:24, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. That's a classic wedding ceremony verse. We go, oh, that's so beautiful. They'll leave their father and mother and become one. But it's actually really painful. And there's very refining. Great marriages have conflicts. If two people agree on everything, then one person is not needed. A mature marriage is not a conflict-free marriage. This is a good quote. The best indicator of a mature marriage is how quickly a couple achieves a healthy resolution to conflict. Marriages are cultivated. They take a great deal of work. And the work is rewarding as resolution to conflict leads to greater enjoyment of each other and greater understanding. But detachment occurs if there's a breakdown in communication or conflicts go unresolved. So we need intimacy as human beings. God has wired us with this desire to be close to someone. And that's why 90-some% of people decide to get married. What are we looking for? We are looking for emotional support, encouragement, advice, companionship. So we have this desire for someone to be close to us. We have this Genesis verse that talks about the two becoming one. But once that happens, there's a tendency to grow apart. How many of you have heard of the second law of thermodynamics? What does it say? Things tend towards disorder. This is true. If you go pick up, you spend the afternoon picking up your house, cleaning your house, you come back a week later, it is not magically cleaner. Your house heads towards entropy or disorder. Likewise, within a relationship, within marriage, your marriage will head towards separation. You have to work actively to stay united with your spouse. So here are some real practical things that you can do to pursue this relationship with each other. Some strategies to battle relationship entropy. Drop that phrase in a sentence with someone. Are you battling relationship entropy? This is something my wife and I, when we were doing our pre-marriage counseling 10 years ago, the pastor who was talking to us said, you need to talk to your wife every day for an hour. And it's not like I pull out my stopwatch and I go, go. No, it is throughout the day. First thing in the morning, I'll get up. When I'm at work, my wife is getting up, I'll call her, I'll talk to her for 3 minutes. How'd you sleep? How are the kids doing? What's your plan for the day? And then maybe during the middle of the day on my lunch break, I'll call my wife again for another 5 minutes. How's your morning been? How are the children treating you? You encouraged, you discouraged. And then driving home, I'll put the cell phone on and I might talk to my wife for another 5-10 minutes. Get home, I'm doing dishes after dinner. She sits down and I'll tell her about my day while I'm cleaning dishes. So throughout the day, I'm actively pursuing my wife before we go to bed. I try to talk to her. So this is not an exaggeration. I think this is like my Mac likes to say, don't talk an inch beyond your experience. I took that advice from that pastor to heart as an engaged guy, and I've been married 9 years and a couple months, so that's 3,374 days. As the Lord is my witness, I think that my wife and I have talked on every single one of those days except for maybe 30 in the last 9 to 10 years for an hour. That's a good thing, and that has laid this incredible foundation of communication in our marriage. I know what she's thinking and feeling and encouraged and discouraged about, and it's been the foundation of our marriage. But it's not the law. I don't want to talk to my wife an hour a day. That's fine. You should try this idea then. Take her on a date every week. A lot of couples do this. They go, the week is too busy. I'm going to once a week go out with my wife, and we're going to talk and connect and download about the week and how we're doing. Obviously, you can still have spontaneous discussions. And then you want to discuss your feelings. Guys operate in our conversation at the level of like facts. How was your day? Good. How was your day? Good. But women like to move to deeper levels of communication like feelings and emotions and opinions and needs. And men, we have to learn how to communicate more on our wives' feeling and need level. And you go, oh, you're a pastor. You're super talkative. If that is your impression of me, you have a false impression of Josh Whitney. I am not a communicator. I am not a talker. I've had to learn all of these things the painful way with my wife. Another thing that's important is that you and your wife have common activities. Conflicts are inevitable. You take two people from two totally different backgrounds, two totally different families, you bring them together into a marriage, there is going to be sparks as these two people become one flesh. But this is a foundational verse in my life. 1 Peter 3:7 says, you husbands, in the same way, live with your wife in an understanding way. Live with your wife in an understanding way, which means husbands, understand your wife. When I was dating Krista, I thought it was like the grand Pumbaa of knowledge about Krista. I was like working on my like junior high level Krista knowledge. I got married, I moved into high school, I've been married a few months, I'm working on my associates, been married a couple years, I'm working on my bachelor's, been married almost a decade, I'm working on my master's, I'm aiming for a PhD someday in Krista Whitney knowledge. So that means I know, I'm learning, Josh Whitney makes a ton of mistakes. Krista would be like, you really embarrassed me when you said that. I'm like, what? Why? And she explains it to me. She may be upset. There may be tears. And I go, huh. And I think of this verse. Live with your wife in an understanding way. I try to understand her. I make a ton of mistakes with my wife, but I try by the grace of God to not keep repeating those mistakes over and over again. because I'm learning. Conflict is not the sign of a poor marriage. In fact, if there is no conflict, it may be an indicator of another issue in your relationship. Marriage has been compared to mountain biking. If you do not go home with a few scrapes and bruises, you haven't really learned how to mountain bike. A total lack of conflict can be an indicator of some problems. A lack of vulnerability, you're not being open with your spouse because you don't want to have conflict with them. You're not communicating with your spouse. You're complacent about your relationship. You're apathetic about your relationship. Or one of the two is just being an abusive dominator. When Kristen and I got married, there were some other couples that got married about the same time as us. And there was one couple who Kristen and I would have like a conflict every few weeks or every few days or every few months. They went like whole years without fighting. I think they were not being vulnerable or communicating with each other. This lack of communication, B, the joke is that women need like 50,000 words a day of talking and men need like 20,000 words. And men get home from work and they use like 18,000 words. They have 2,000 left. They're almost done talking. The women are all revved up and ready to go. So for me, I had to learn that when I would come home from work and I'm all talked out, and my wife is like, how was your day? I was like, what is this, the Spanish Inquisition? She just wanted to connect with me. And Josh Whitney, because I'm a conversational dummy, I've had to learn a variety of things. I remember we'd be sitting at the dinner table, and she'd be telling me about her day, and I'd slide the newspaper over where I could see it and look at it while she was talking. If I could look at her eyes, look at the paper. Look at her eyes, look at the paper. She didn't like that. And then I carry a little pocket PC with me to write down my to-do list items and appointments, and she'd be talking to me and my brain's thinking about things I need to do. I'd be like, hold on, I have to write some stuff down I need to do. And then there'd be times that she'd be talking about how her boss had been a big jerk to her and he had yelled at her and she's getting upset, recounting it all. And I'd be like, not really connecting at all with the emotional pain she's going through. And the flip side of this, though, is that if you are constantly working through conflict with your spouse, you may be expecting too much, or you may have an unresolved source of conflict. But we must deal with our conflict with our spouse because it draws us closer, it builds intimacy. Conflict will either tear us apart as a husband and wife, or it will bring us together. It totally depends on your attitude. If you and your spouse have a conflict and your desire is to understand your mate, it will lead to greater closeness. If you care about your own interest, it's going to lead to detachments. Let's briefly look at some common sources of conflict. First source, pride. It's vain conceit, it's arrogance, it's selfishness, it's pride. The opposite of that is humility. Humility is respecting and thinking of your spouse's needs above your own. So when confronted with a disagreement, what would the humble person do? For me, a key verse, you can write it down, Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wife like Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So when I'm sitting up there 6 months into my marriage, my wife and I have had another disagreement, and she's crying, I'm angry and upset, and I'm sitting up there trying, I'm going to just go read my book, wife. I go upstairs, I'm trying to read my engineering book, and I keep rereading the same sentence over and over again. God brought this verse to mind. He said, husbands, Josh, love Krista like I love the church. Wait a minute, you died on the cross for your church, yeah? Your church was a big jerk to you, and you still died for them. They were sinners, and you died for them. They were giving you the bird, and you still died for them. Yeah, go love your wife. And so since then, that's been sort of my Josh Whitney theme verse. I visualize Jesus dying on the cross, and I go, she's just asked me to sweep again for the 40th time, and she did it in a neggy way, but I'm not being asked to die on the cross. That was the standard. My wife actually said to me, because I turned to her and I said when we were newly married, I said, you know, I'm better than most husbands you know. Really humble like that. And she said to me, you know what? I don't care about most husbands. She said, your standard is Jesus Christ. And I was like, hey! Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wife like Christ loved the church. humility. The sad truth is we treat our fellow co-workers sometimes with more respect and honor than we treat our spouse. Men, God has built our wives to follow us, and so they will follow us into pride and sin and argument, or they will follow us into godliness. I visualize my wife and I sitting there, and she says, you know, when you did this the other day, you were very rude. And I visualize her just taking a shot at me. And I visualize myself reaching for my gun. And I did that because you nagged me all day, woman. And then she reaches for her M16. I did that because you've been a bad husband all week. So there's this like escalating pride and arrogance and self-conceit. Or if we're going to live out Ephesians 5:25, men, I think it starts with you. Your wife goes, you know, she might have called you on a sin you did, but she did in a totally mean way. You pull your magazine out of your gun, you slide it across the table and go, I was really rude there, babe. You own your 10%. You go, this is 90% my wife's sin. It's 10% my sin. You own your 10%. That was wicked. That was sinful, babe. Be humble. Second cause of conflict is insecurity or low self-esteem. These feelings are rooted in not feeling loved or not valued. This can create conflict if the only source for love and acceptance is your spouse. This results in draining your spouse. So that is why the foundation of all of this has got to be Jesus Christ. Because, you know, Jesus loves me unconditionally. Jesus died on the cross for my sins. That's the foundation of my marriage, and that allows you to move forward with your marriage. When I went through this talk with my wife, she raised a good point for the women. She said that initially in our marriage, the question that she had not settled was, does Josh Whitney really love me? Have you settled the question, women? Does your husband really love you? If not, every single conflict will become a battle of, does my husband love me? Why is he looking at the newspaper? Does he love me? The dude is stupid, needs to be taught. Another reason that there's conflict is unmet needs. A relationship that does not experience the true companionship does not meet the need that God has created it for. God has made the marriage relationship to be the most amazing, satisfying relationship that you can experience until we go to heaven. A lack of intimacy in marriage can be more frustrating than at any other time in your life. And that's why there's so much conflict and emotion in marriage, because people go, it's supposed to be better than this. You're supposed to be my soulmate. We're supposed to adore each other. And right now, we can't stand to be in the same house with each other. Another source of conflict is you feel unsafe to communicate. If your conflict resolution and communication patterns are destructive, like you two cannot have a disagreement without it blowing up and becoming a nightmare, then you're going to quit sharing stuff with each other. You're going to quit talking about your feelings and needs. And this results in loneliness. Another source of conflict is the past. Do not dredge dirt up on each other. This indicates a lack of forgiveness and affects every other area of your life, including your relationship with God. The way I think about this as an engineer is I want to have a high unity score with my wife. Let's say you, your husband and wife, you're totally united. You kiss, you're like, this is my angel, my bride. You're at 100. Then you're rude to your bride, and you drop down to a 90. The smart husband and wife restore the relationship back up to 100 as quickly as they can. The couple that has grown apathetic or there's been too much baggage, they're hanging out at a 90. And then the wife's nagging her husband, they drop down to an 80. And then the husband ignores his wife and they drop to a 70. I would rather go into my day and my week and my marriage with my wife at 100 than be hitting it at 80. And then you get used to a 70. We're only 60% united and we're only 40% united. It's a bad place to be. Let's look at some of the rules of engagement, conflict models. This is a pretty strong quote. The strongest pattern for conflict resolution in our marriages are the ones that were modeled, not learned. We typically adopt patterns that we were exposed to by our parents. Okay, so here's a question. This morning, I want you all to raise your hand. If you grew up in a godly Christian home with a mom and a dad who are faithfully married to each other, they're not perfect, But by and large, their marriage is something you want to model. Just raise your hand real fast. So we're running maybe 10, 15%. So that means the other 85 to 90% of you go, you know what? The marriage patterns that I grew up with my mom and dad that I saw are not the ones I want to bring into my marriage. And we typically just subconsciously just bring what we saw growing up right into our marriage. That's sobering. A good verse you might want to write down that's talking about conflict. There's a lot of verses in the New Testament that are one another verses that say, love one another, encourage one another, build one another up, lovingly rebuke one another. All these one another verses that we put in the context of the church, all of those verses should first and foremost be applied to our spouse. So Ephesians 4, 25 through 32 is a classic verse that we think of when we talk about Christians and conflict, but it starts with Christians in marriage. Each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to your spouse, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. There's a whole bunch of one another verses. And the one that you could live out with your spouse is kiss. Greet. You know the verse that says, greet one another with a holy kiss? Please don't greet me that way, but you could greet your spouse that way. Okay, there's some bad ways of handling conflict. There's two classic ways, the way of the turtle and the way of the skunk. Most of you will fall into one of these two camps. The turtle handles conflict by withdrawing into its shell. The turtle hopes it'll all just go away if I just stay in my shell. This is avoidance. It never accomplishes anything. The hurt just gets buried and eventually comes back to the surface. A good verse for you turtles that just like to bury things, Ephesians 4:15, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up to him who is the head, that is Christ. Speaking the truth in love. The turtle goes, what's wrong? Nothing. I'm in my shell. But if we're living out this verse, we go, you know what? You did hurt my feelings when you said this. You did make me upset when you said this or did this. Some of you are the skunk. The skunk handles the anger that comes from conflict by just spraying everywhere. There's a big stink. The heart of this response is malice. You're like, you hurt me, now I'm going to hurt you. And this typically leads to verbal abuse. Words can be devastating. Words hurt. Rash words are like a thrust of a sword. We can kill each other with our words. Here's a good verse for you skunks, Psalm 141. Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord, keep watch over the door of my lips. Skunks, put a little guard over your mouth. How many of you are turtles? Raise your hand high, turtle power. Not many turtles down here. How many skunks? Okay. And the rest of you think you're perfect. Go back to the previous point. Pride, that's your issue. When we talk about conflict, some of you visualize like a husband and wife in a kitchen. She's screaming. He's mad. Somebody might throw something at a wall. There's a lot of profanity. That's what we think of when we think of conflict. When I say Krista and I have conflict or we resolve conflict, we're not yelling at each other. We're not screaming at each other. We're not swearing at each other. There's usually, we're sitting there, we're talking, there can be tears, there can be emotion, but there is not, most of us have a very destructive pattern of conflict when we visualize it. God has a whole different way of resolving conflict. Let's talk about some really bad things to do. 8 surefire ways to severe intimacy or closeness with your spouse. Accuse your spouse, accuse your mate. Oh, I never do that, Josh. My husband always does that. Those would be accusations. Accusations are only good for adding fuel to the fire. You could write down Proverbs 26:21. As charcoal to ember and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. So, for example, you could say, "Husband, where did you lose my keys?" That would be an accusation. A more gracious way to say it would be, "Husband, I've lost my keys. Have you seen them?" Remember past offenses. We need to learn how to acquire a selective memory. You could write down Proverbs 17:9. "He who covers over an offense promotes love." Or you could write down 1 Corinthians 13. It's talking about love. It says, "Love keeps no record of wrong." My wife is good at this. I'll do something that will hurt her feelings. She'll let me know. There'll be crying, and we'll talk through it. We'll figure it out. And then she'll kind of just forget it. So then weeks or days or months later, I'll go, "Remember how I was being really bad at that? Have I been doing better?" She's like, "What are you talking about?" I'm like, "Remember 2 months ago you said I wasn't pursuing you enough?" And she's like, "No." And I'll be like, "No, remember you were crying at the kitchen table and I made all these notes in my pocket PC and I've been trying to pursue you a lot better?" And she's like, "No, I forget." I go, "All right, well, I worked on it." Apparently it's improved if you've forgotten about it. So forget past offenses. Have a selective memory. Guess your mate's intention. This is another way to severe intimacy. Oh, I know what he meant by that. This is especially applicable to the women in the crowd, I think. Men tend to just be like, "I said it. I moved on." Women are like, "What did he mean by that? I think he meant he hates my mother." Where if you just said, "What did you mean by that? I don't quite understand what you're saying." Learn to ask a lot of questions. Let us men explain what we're thinking. A good verse to write down is Proverbs 18:13. "It is foolish to answer before you listen." One of my wife's thoughts on this point was, believe the best. Instead of guessing, "Oh, he meant to be a big jerk to me with that." Believe the best. You know what? He loves me. He just was being stupid. I'll need to talk to him. All right, D, use the silent treatment. This is another way to severe intimacy. This communicates rejection. If you're too angry to speak with your spouse, talk to God and then talk to your spouse. A lot of us, they make us mad. We're done talking to them. That's a bad place to end it. Krista and I were doing some marriage counseling with a couple years ago, and we're sitting there with a husband and wife, and he said, "I get so mad at my wife when we're in conflict. I just want to punch the wall, so I just walk away." And I was like, better to walk away than punch the wall. But we need to grow in that. We need to learn how to talk with our spouse. A good verse to write down is Hebrews. This is a very convicting, encouraging verse. Hebrews 4:15-16. "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so we may receive the mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Okay, another surefire way to severe intimacy: make sure you are selfish. There's a pastor I listen to sometimes. He said that you can be single and serve Jesus, or you can get married and become like Jesus. You take two selfish people that are single, and you get them married, one of two things are going to happen. They're either going to get unmarried, or God is going to use their spouse to cause them to be less selfish. Before I was dating Krista, there was a girl in college that I was dating for a while, and I had this 50-50 mindset. I was like, "Oh, I wrote you a nice card. Now it's your turn to write me a nice card. I bought you a gift. Now it's your turn to buy me a gift. I called you to see how you're doing. Now it's your turn to call me and see how I'm doing." It was selfishness. I'm doing this, so you do this. James 3:16 says, "For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder in every evil practice." When I ended that relationship, and then a while later I started a relationship with my wife, I was like, "You know what? That was stupid. That was selfish sin. I'm going to go into this relationship with Krista. I may write her 50 million cards, and she may never write me one card. But if I'm being selfless, that's fine." F, make excuse from your wrong. I should probably say for your wrong. Excuses always cause tension and disunity in the relationship. Take responsibility. The classic verse is Jesus with God with Adam and Eve in the book of Genesis. Eve sins, Adam sins, and God comes to Adam and says, "What did you do? Why did you sin?" He says, "The woman you made caused me to sin." And that is all that men and women have done since the beginning of time. "Why did you just embarrass me in front of my friends?" "Oh, because you were nagging me in front of our friends the whole night." We can instantly come up with an excuse. I dare you in a conflict not to explain away your sin. Own it, clean and free. Just your wife is like, "You were very rude when you did that." "That was very rude." And just stop. "That was sin, period. No buts, no ands, no because." Okay, another one we do that's bad. We never listen. Your favorite TV show is not as important as a communication conversation with your spouse. One of our early conflicts, I'm watching The Simpsons. It's a brand new episode. I've never seen it. It's almost over. My wife comes in after her day of work, and I go, "Hey, babe." And there was conflict there. Because I was communicating to her that The Simpsons is more important than talking to my wife for a couple minutes. Good verse to write down, James 1:19. "Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to turn off your cell phone and TV." Last one, H. Talk down to your mate. Sarcasm and insults. I have a mind that thinks of like sarcastic, witty, cutting comments all the time. That is not an effective tool to use in marriage. It will not cause your wife to want to change and respond and listen to you if you can come up with nice zingers during your conversation with her. This communicates a lack of respect, and anger will build in that environment over time. Ephesians 4:29, we read it, we'll read it again. "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their need, that it may benefit those who listen." So let's talk about some healthy conflict resolution as we bring this to a close. We must learn how to deal with conflict in our marriage. Unresolved conflicts lead to anger, which leads to long-term damage to your relationship. And when people get to that point, they think that divorce is an option. Don't allow divorce to be an option in your marriage. God has a plan for your marriage, regardless of how terrible it is. If you are totally discouraged and go, "Our marriage is a nightmare, it is a train wreck, God cannot fix it," then you are denying the power of God and you are denying the marriages that God has fixed in this church. Malachi 2:16, God says, "I hate divorce. I hate divorce." My wife and I never discuss it. We never threaten it. We never hint at it. We never make comments about it. Our marriage philosophy is, "I'm going to bury you, wife, or you're going to bury me." And that's how it's going to end. In a really good way. Recognize that conflict is normal, and it is a doorway to greater closeness with your spouse. And like I said, you've got to get yourself right. Get yourself right first. If you sense conflict in your marriage, you start with you. Grab the mirror, hold it up, and go, "All right. What's going on? Why are we fighting? I'm like Jesus Christ himself. I don't know why she has a problem with me." If you do not start with a little self-evaluation in your marriage, in your relationship, you will not be able to healthily resolve your relationship. Matthew 7:1, Jesus said, "Do not judge or you will be judged. In the same way you judge others, you will be judged. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of dust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Here, let me get that speck out of your eye,' when the whole time there's a plank in your own eye? Hypocrite, take the plank out of your eye, then you'll be able to clearly remove the speck from your brother's eye." Good marriage verse. You need to be willing to be wrong. Own it. Own the 10% that was your sin. Be willing to forgive. When your spouse says, "That was wrong. That was wicked. Will you please forgive me?" You need to say, "I will forgive you," and mean it and forget about it and move on with your life. We need to be eager to reconcile our relationship. There's a few side notes real quick. You want to be careful when and where you resolve your conflict. I would not do it. Don't just stand up and start resolving your conflict right now in church. That's bad. Don't do it in front of your kids. Studies have shown that a lot of arguments happen when we're very hungry, we're about to eat dinner. Sometimes when we're both exhausted and we want to go to bed, that's a bad time to start hashing through a major disagreement you had. Then the last thought is seek marriage counseling. We are all going to have conflict. We're going to have disagreement. We should be using these patterns, these Bible verses, these principles. We should be remembering, God, help me to love my wife like Christ loved the church. God, help me to live with my wife in an understanding way. God, help me to put a guard over my mouth. We should be praying with our spouse, with God, God, help me restore this relationship. But do not continue to just operate. We were at 100 when we were newly married, and then we were 70. We got used to 70, and now we're at a 50, and we're used to a 50. And now we're at a 25. We're used to a 25, and we're hinting divorce at each other. Don't be at that place without getting... Call up Steve McEnroy, Jeannie McEnroy, one of the deacons, and go, hey, my marriage is not so hot. I need some accountability and some counseling and some coaching on stuff. What is the worst phone call to get as a pastor is when somebody calls you up and goes, I hate my spouse, she hates me, we're living in separate houses, we're pretty sure we're going to get a divorce in 2 months. Can you save our marriage? It's like, God can do anything. God, you need to do anything. But it'd be a whole lot better to rewind the clock 18 months back when the bad patterns started and start dealing with stuff at that point than deal with it when it's just about to sink. I'll pray. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that it is always practical. I thank you, God, that you care about our marriages. You want us to be united. God, I pray that this would be a church with healthy marriages where people stay married to each other for the rest of their life. Pray, God, if there are bad patterns of conflict resolution, that we would change those today. I pray if there are husbands and wives in this church that are not communicating with their spouse, I pray that today would be the day we start to really pursue each other again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.